In your Bibles, if you would turn to the book of Ezekiel, we'll continue our study through God's Word as we walk through the Scriptures. We've been taking as much time as we can to kind of try and work our way through the whole entire Bible in one year. Obviously, it's not a verse-by-verse study, but we're just kind of highlighting certain things within our Scripture reading through our week. The book of Ezekiel can be found, it goes Jeremiah, then Lamentations, and then it's Ezekiel. We'll be in chapter 27 and 28 this morning. We're going to learn about the city of Tyre, T-Y-R-E. I know that's exactly what you woke up thinking about this morning. We're like, boy, I'm so excited for the study of the city of Tyre. But I think by the end of it, you'll see why it kind of struck me in the heart this week as we are studying through God's Word. When you think of the city of Tyre, I think you should think of Chick-fil-A. They are superior. They will say, Chick-fil-A will say, we haven't invented the chicken, just the chicken sandwich. When you think of the city of Tyre, you should think of the internet giant Amazon. Amazon.com on November 26th, so this is Cyber Monday, some made-up thing for you to spend money, is on that day last year in 2017, Amazon.com sold 26 million items. 26 million items in one day. Amazon.com. Walmart, in the course of my 30-minute message, if you're lucky, they will have made in profit $1 million in one sermon. When you think of the city of Tyre, it may not be something you ever heard of before, and that's really all right. You can still go to heaven, I think. But the city of Tyre in the ancient world was the trading, like it was the Chick-fil-A, it was the Amazon.com, it was the Walmart. They knew how to deliver and trade anything imaginable in the ancient world. The city of Tyre was just off the coast on the far east side of the Mediterranean Sea. And by their strategic position, they had two ports on the north and south part of their city. And I think from the king's leadership and everything that it would take, Tyre became the greatest trading center that the world really had ever known. And so if you can just sort of fix in your mind that these were the Amazon.com, the Walmarts of the world, they were world-renowned for their customer service, for their ability to get goods and things wherever they needed to be. And they were so good at brokering, so good at trading, that they became world-renowned and incredibly wealthy. Like, if you know how to get from A to B, like, they were what can Brown do for you long before UPS. They were getting things where it needed to go. And they were making a handsome sum of money in the process. That's enough plugs for corporations for you to do your business with. I'm going to get into God's Word. But that's the sort of mindset I kind of think of when I read through Ezekiel 27 and 28. We're not going to tackle all of the text because it's a lot of nations doing business with Tyre, and it's saying, here's what they exchanged, and here's what they have. The one that that sort of jumps out at me, and it's for a reason, is 27:12. We will read in 11. Men of Arvad and Helek guarded your walls on every side. Men of Gamond were in your towers. They hung their shields around your walls. They brought your beauty to perfection. So this is the start of the lament of Tyre, and it's a description of how great it is and all of the things that they are doing. In verse 12 it says, Tarshish did business with you. Because of your great wealth of goods, they exchanged silver, iron, tin, and lead for your merchandise. Now, if you knew your Mediterranean Sea well, you would know that Tyre is on one end, and Tarshish is on the complete other end. It's modern-day Straits of Gibraltar. There we go. I speak English. Gibraltar, it's, if they made it to Tarshish, in the ancient world, you made it to the very edge of creation. Like, there was not much known beyond the Straits of Gibraltar. Tarshish, it was like, it was this great expanse of sea after you get to that point. But the point is that Tyre is so far-reaching in what they can trade. They are so powerful, they have so much wealth, they are so good at what they do, they have even reached Tarshish. This is incredible. And so it's all building this up, and we can keep going with all that, but just trust me when I say they are trading with the who's who of the nations of the world, and they're exchanging everything between spices and dyes and clothing and even human beings. And so they are good at exchanging merchandise. It says then in verse 25, the ships of Tarshish serve as carriers for your wares. You are filled with heavy cargo as you sail the sea. Verse 26, your oarsmen take you out to the high seas, but the east wind, here it is, the east wind will break you to pieces far out at sea. Your wealth, merchandise, and wares, your mariners, sailors, and shipwrights, your merchants, and all your soldiers, and everyone else on board will sink into the heart of the sea on the day of your shipwreck. So Ezekiel pronounces judgment on the city. He says, you guys are so amazing at all of this, and you have all of your wealth, but all of this is going to come crashing down. The east wind will come, and your ship will sink, and everything that's on it. And he goes on, the shore lands will quake when your sailors cry out. All who handle the oars will abandon their ships, and the mariners and all the sailors will stand on the shore. They will raise their voice and they'll cry bitterly over you. They will sprinkle dust on their heads and roll in ashes. They will shave their heads because of you and they'll put on sackcloth. They will weep over you with anguish of soul and with bitter mourning. As they wail and mourn over you, they will take up lament concerning you. Who was ever silenced like Tyre, surrounded by the sea? When your merchandise went out on the seas, you satisfied many nations with your great wealth and your wares. You enriched the kings of the earth. But now you are shattered by the sea in the depths of the waters. Your wares and all your company have gone down with you. All who live in the coastlands are appalled at you. Their kings, they shudder with horror, and their faces are distorted with fear. The merchants among the nations scoff at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. Why in verse 5 are the kings horrified? Why are they frightened at the fall of Tyre? Here it is. If it could happen to Tyre, it could happen to them. If it could happen to the mightiest and wealthiest of cities, of nations, it could happen to them. The kings look on horrified because they look at how this great city has fallen. The merchants among the nations that say they scoff at them. Now the rebuke takes a sort of decisive turn towards the king of Tyre. If you were the manager of this city, of this empire, of this nation, how do you think you would feel about yourself? The wealthiest person in perhaps all of the world, it's hard to know exactly. But hear the word of Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me. This is chapter 28. The Son of Man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a god. I sit on the throne of God in the heart of the seas. But you are a mere mortal, and not a god, though you think you are as wise as a god. Are you wiser than Daniel? Is no secret hidden from you? By your wisdom and understanding, you have gained wealth for yourself and amassed gold and silver in your treasures. By your great skill in trading, you have increased your wealth, and because of your wealth, your heart has grown proud. And it's that simple verse that I wanted to sit on and dwell with. But for it to really mean anything, you have to know the backstory. But that's the verse that I want to have sort of resonate in your heart this morning. By your great skill in trading, you have increased your wealth. And because of your wealth, your heart has grown proud. What does the gospel of Jesus Christ have to say to the King of Tyre? What does what we know about the world and the way the world works, do we want to sort of speak towards this? Because of your wealth, your heart has become proud. Have you ever felt or suffered from the issue of pride in your life? I'm quite confident that I'm not the only one that has felt pretty accomplished and self-accomplished a time or two. I have a wife to help me keep, Wendy, when I start getting full of myself, or people become too complimentary of me, she feels it necessary to shrink my head. And so you guys are all blessed that Wendy is in my life, because she keeps me so handsome and humble. But we can all struggle with pride, and there is no doubt that the King of Tyre would have looked at all of the wealth that he amassed for himself, and he could look to himself and say, surely the world should look to me as though I am God, that I am a God and I am mighty and powerful and amazing. And the fact that the King of Tyre is broken, the fact that the King of Tyre would be taken down is a reminder that to all of the kings that they should be rather quite cautious of their pride. And so I want to look to the example of Christ, that the hubris of the King of Tyre reminds us that the same pride that takes over our can take over our own hearts. God's rebuke and judgment on this city of the King of Tyre reminds us that life is not about the climb up the ladder, but the humble step downward into service. Jesus teaches us that life doesn't consist in the abundance of our possessions. Rather, that God models for us what true life consists of. And true life consists of service. True life is found in kindness and humility and gentleness. That true life, the pursuing of the Christian life, is that the true followers of Jesus Christ give everything that they have, and give all that they are, and they pour out themselves. And so today is about prayerfully considering for us how our pride gets in the way of true Christian life and service. I think about Christ leading the example, that Jesus sets forth the example for us on what a true king looks like. As the King of Tyre, he sort of builds up for himself this great and mighty nation. It's our King Jesus who empties himself, and it's about pouring himself out, not about acquiring everything that we have and all that we are. I'm sorry, I need to pause a second. I also need to pray. I'm sorry. Heavenly Father, help us to be attentive. Help me to be attentive to you. We have a city called Tyre that is this great and mighty thing, and it falls. And when I look at our world and I look at how I function within it, I so often find myself hanging on to the sense of control that I can have. When you think about just how quick and easy it is for us to get what we want, just with my cell phone, I don't think they call it cell phones anymore. I think they call them smartphones. I could order myself a house on Amazon, and I could get it shipped. All I have to do is get the foundation set. And I could probably Google how to do that. The sense that the king of Tyre is this sort of far and distant off person that we couldn't ever be, these things in our phones and the power and control that we have give us a sense every single day that we are kings and we are queens and we can do what we want. When I look at our world and I see how quickly it is that I can become so proud, I gotta be honest, and this is a frustrating thing to me. It's kind of a darned if you do, darned if you don't thing. I had a moment in worship where I thought, look at all the people here. And I had a moment of pride saying, man, look at what I've done. How foolish and stupid that is. That I could be so proud of something that I've accomplished when there is definitely no reason why you're here because of me, but because of how good and wonderful Jesus Christ is in your life and how real he is to you and that he's died for you and he cares deeply for you. That's who it's about, right? But I can make it about me so quickly. And it's that thing that we all have within ourselves where the king of Tyre announcing, I am a god. How quickly do we think, or how subtly it comes in and creeps into our lives, all of the things that we can get for ourselves, all the things that we can store up for ourselves, all of these things that we can just so quickly amass and say, look at me and how I have made it and how I've arrived. Ezekiel's condemnation to the king of Tyre was, you have amassed for yourself all of this wealth, and your heart has become proud. And when we take the example of Christ, and we sort of lay the kingdom of God and the good news of Jesus Christ, as we lay it over this text, over our lives, and we look at ourselves and we say, what does this look like? And friends, what are you investing your life in? What are you seeking? Jesus so often taught and so often encouraged his disciples that it's about seeking the kingdom of God. It's about not storing for yourselves treasures here on earth that moth and rust destroy. He says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Seek first Christ and his kingdom. Seek his righteousness with all of your life. The thing is, the king of Tyre seems like he's the prime example, like he's the one that we should be striving to be like. King of Tyre would be found on the who's who of business leaders. He'd be the Jeff Bezos, if you don't know who he is, he owns Amazon. He'd be the Sam Walton of the world, and we would look at them and we would celebrate their leadership, their business acumen. He would be the Warren Buffett and the Steve Jobs of the ancient world. I don't think we would find Jesus Christ on the cover of CEO magazine. But where we find him repeatedly is in the humble homes of people who are broken and are hurting. What we find repeatedly of our Savior and our King is one who gives time of day to the sinful and the broken, the tax collector, Zacchaeus, and he goes into his home. He spent time with people who no one liked. He spent time with people who were ostracized, who were excommunicated from communities. He spent time with the lowly and the broken. And the question is who will be remembered better? Who's still celebrated each day? Who do we join together with around the world celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King? And so I spoke a couple of weeks ago about all of the things that we're up against as preachers, all of the messages, all of the things that we're being pushed against that sort of send us down the river, and we feel like we are going upstream, trying to figure out where we're going with our lives, trying to hear the Word of God and hear its truth in our lives and live it out every day. And so the challenge to me is, how will I take a step down from feeling proud, attaining success, looking at what I've accomplished? How do I start stepping down the ladder in acts of kindness, of humility, of service, of love? And friends, the challenge is not just me, but all of us would say, you know what, I'm not going to chase after all of that. By all of the things that we try to attain ourselves and stand up on, that's all we get is pride. But when Jesus calls his disciples, what does he ask of them? This is pop quiz Bible time, because I don't know where the sermon's going from here. What does Jesus tell of his disciples to give up? Does he ask for part of your life? Just a snippet? Does he ask you for Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.? Or does he ask that you give up everything? I answered it for you. You guys tricked the teacher. Some of you are nodding, so I'll give you half credit. Jesus asks of us to give up everything that we are. And it's that Philippians 2 passage that has resonated as you look at King of Tyre and you look at the King of Kings. There's the King of Tyre who looks at all he's attained for himself, and there's the King of Kings who, though in very nature is God, doesn't consider equality with God as something for him to grasp. Instead, he lowers himself even to the point of death. James tells us that God's going to lift up the humble. That God is going to exalt those who humble themselves. And his reason for believing that and sharing that and encouraging that in believers is because when we look at Jesus, when we look at Philippians 2, it's the humble King of Kings who empties himself and pours himself out, who is lifted up and exalted as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord of over all of creation. And it's this King, Jesus, who invites you to follow him and empty yourself out. And it's the gospel good news that gives us the courage, power, and strength to do that very thing. Because when Jesus empties himself out, he is completely dead, and then he completely comes back to life. And it's the power of that resurrection that dwells in our hearts and our minds, and that hope that we fix our hearts upon every day. To know that this act of service, that this emptying of myself, this moment of setting aside my pride, is something God can work with. Something that God can do to change the world one nudge at a time, one notch at a time, as all of us say, I want to be a servant in the kingdom of Christ. I want to live for him. And when I live for him in this kingdom, I can pour myself out, and I know that God will lift us up. And so what I'm asking of you, and I think maybe the reason why I had a strange moment in the middle of it, is I'm asking you to come and die. I'm asking you to stop trying to chase up a ladder that will only fall over. Why not spend your time coming down it in service of kindness, of love, and humility? Where is your hope? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we ask of you to help us. Help us with our pride. Help us with understanding your word in our lives, to hear you clearly, to listen to you, and to follow through with obedience. God, I don't know what you're asking us individually to do today, but I know as a church you're calling us to humility, to love, to gentleness, to kindness, to service, to looking to the needs of others before ourselves. And so God, this day and this week and this life we have together as a church, let us serve you. Let us love our neighbors and love each other. And let each act of kindness, God, not be one more notch of our pride and our hubris. God, we can be so quick to preach about how good we are and how well we are doing. And it can be so quick and easy for us to think that we've done so much. God, in the famous and wonderful words of John the Baptist, may you increase and may we decrease. May the glory of your name increase in our church family. May the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, be exalted high above us, God. And may we just be your simple, humble servants, loving and kind and gracious, forgiving, reconciling, witnessing to the love of Jesus Christ. All of these things, God, may we pour out the acts of service and kindness of our lives for your glory and your praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. As the worship team comes forward, I just want to simply ask that you would reflect on a few of the questions I have at the bottom of the sermon notes. But it's just simply asking, what prideful attitude do I need to repent from? Where do you think that you have your life completely figured out? Where do you find yourselves falling into pride? Another quick thing is, how have I fallen into trust in the economy and the government or whatever else that you have that you think there's no way that this could fall or fail? How does God care for your daily needs? And take time this week to be grateful and thankful to Him. How can you express your gratitude to God daily? Friends, we can all find ourselves in the trap of the King of Tyre. And as I think about the King of Tyre who exalted himself, his hubris knew no bounds. But when we think of the King of Kings, he emptied himself on the cross, and it's his humility that knew no bounds. Let's follow our King. Let's stand and sing.